What's going on, football fans? Welcome to week 7 of Deep Balls. It's the NFL Picks Podcast from Field Goals. I'm your host, Danny Kelly, and I'm joined, as always, by Jackson Bevins. How are you doing, Jackson?
I'm good, man. Looking for a little bit of a bounce back after last week.
Yeah, just updating where we are at the moment. Jackson went 7-7 last week and now sits at 56-35 straight up, picking on the year. That's currently in the 77th percentile worldwide. I did a little better than Jackson. We actually had, as we talked about last week, we had quite a few picks that we didn't agree on. I went 9-5, got lucky on a couple of those, and end up at 58-33 right now, straight up on the year in the 87th percentile. Right now, Maury Povich is still in the lead. I think he maybe did he bounce out?
Wire to wire on us, man.
I don't know if he hasn't been in the lead at all so far, but he got 10 last week. Obviously knows his shit. He's at 63 wins overall, total 99.5 percentile worldwide, obviously kicking some ass. Andrew V210 is currently in second place. They're starting to weed out some people here. There's now a singular 1 and 2s. There's 2 third place people, Cubania 16Q and CWU6 are third, and they both have 61 in the 97th percentile. So great job, everyone who's following along with us and taking part in our pick'em group. It's called Field Goals, Deep Balls. It's on ESPN Pigskin Pick'em. Let's just get right into it, I guess. Jackson, you have anything to add before we get going?
No.
He's not the best color man in the league for anything, folks. Well, obviously, we got the Seahawks playing tomorrow night. It's a big game for both teams, really. We talked to Kenneth and I talked to David Fucillo over at Niners Nation today, and he was saying there's kind of a lot of implications around the game from the Niners' point of view in terms of what happens with Colin Kaepernick, how he plays, if he kind of shits the bed again, and that might kind of seal his fate a little bit. Obviously, for the Seahawks, if they go to 2-5, you can pretty much kiss the playoffs goodbye at that point. It's not mathematical or anything like that, but I mean, you're facing a really steep uphill climb at that point. Not to mention like a psychological barrier to getting things back on track. So, Jackson, first off, what do you have in this game? Who do you think is going to win? And what do you think of the line at 6.5?
Yeah, it's pretty rare to see a road team on a Thursday be nearly a touchdown favorite. But I think that really does speak to the fact that although they have identical records, Seattle is a more talented team and obviously with a better recent track record than the 49ers. And, I think that that is true. On the flip side, on the Cigar Thoughts podcast last night, and I should post tomorrow morning, Matt Nichols, one of my co-hosts, said that he thinks this week will be the biggest challenge of Pete Carroll's coaching tenure in Seattle. And I think he's really right about that. I am not a huge fan of the term must win unless it's like mathematically a must win game. And I certainly hate that term in week 7. But honestly, this is as close to it as a week 7 game gets. And I wasn't expecting this sort of tension as a Seahawks fan coming into this game. But here we are. That said, if you go down the rosters, we're talking about a significantly more talented team. And although only 18% of 2-4 teams have made the playoffs in the past, I think 0% of them have had 8 or more all pros on their roster, and this is not a normal 2-4 team, and I don't think they'll play like a 2-4 team. So I have Seattle winning, and it wouldn't surprise me if they cover, but it's going to be very interesting if they enter the fourth quarter with a lead.
Yeah, no doubt. That's going to be kind of the white knuckle time for fans at that point. I imagine that's probably what's going to happen. Honestly, they're going to have like a tenuous lead in the fourth quarter, and we're going to kind of have a gut check time, see if they can hold on to it. We talked about the odds. Maybe it was I think it was on the Reaction podcast with Kenny and I. We talked about the odds of making the playoffs at that point for the Seahawks, and obviously right now it's like 8% or something based on history. But I'd like to, I think I've seen a couple places that say it's more like 30%.
So Football Outsiders is giving Seattle a 30% chance.
Okay. And I don't know if
historically.
That's historically based?
No. That's based on the fact that they still have Seattle as the number 10 team in DVOA, and that they're, you know, expecting them to outperform a typical 2-4 team down the stretch.
Yeah, and I wonder how much of a factor I wonder what the odds would be if you really – if instead of looking at all teams that were 2-4 over the history of the NFL, if you looked at teams that are 2-4 and the leader in the division is 4-2, they're still only two games behind. They still have two games to play that team.
Totally.
And so they could get the tiebreaker by beating them twice. And so I think, you know, the odds maybe are 8% if you look at it historically from all teams that were 2-4. But I think right now it's maybe, you know, a little bit higher with all those variables and involved. And so, you know, it's not that we're not talking, you know, how high of a draft pick are we getting quite yet. And I think the Seahawks are still alive. But I agree with you. I think this is one of those games you have to win or else it's a situation where I think things will start to snowball a little bit. Players are still to have that doubt. And part of the reason I think the Seahawks have been so good over the years is they've just been so fucking confident and like just swaggy. You know, they're just they have that swagger. So I think if you lose this game, that really kind of affects the psychological makeup of the team. And you know, then you could see some things start to crumble a little bit. So, but again, I picked the Seahawks in this one. You know, I kind of just went with the line. I'm not feeling overly confident at this point in what's going to happen just because of, you know, maybe it's just because, you know, of the way they've lost the last two games. I just don't feel very confident in them right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of just went with the odds on this one, really. I think based on a lot of the stats and a lot of the, you know, the talent level on each team, I just think Seattle's a better team. And odds are they'll get it figured out. And odds are they're not going to have a total collapse in the fourth quarter again. But, man, it's going to be scary when the fourth quarter rolls around.
Yeah, totally. But, you know, the thing that basically I'm coming back to is Seattle, I still think, is, you know, in that top third of the league in terms of how good they are. Probably higher, but tough to say, have 2-4 record. But San Francisco might be the worst. I mean, they are dead last in DVOA right now. They rank, let's see, by positional group, they're last overall by a big margin, almost nine points. Well, actually, by DVOA, it's 11 points, which is enormous. So they're the worst by a lot, but they're 28th on offense, 31st on defense, 26th in special teams. I mean, if Seattle can't exploit the advantages inherent to this matchup, then you know there's something psychologically wrong, because Seattle, by proxy, is – or by comparison, is actually 9th overall and ranked fittingly 12th on offense, 12th on defense, and 1st in special teams.
All right. Well, I mean, and I've always been a huge proponent of DVOA. I love DVOA. But at the end of the day, I mean, like, sometimes it just doesn't transfer. Like, for instance, the Ravens are, you know, I think still pretty high in the DVOA rankings, and they're 1-5. Yeah,
13th at 1-5. They're ahead of Atlanta at 5-1.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just one of those things where sometimes the statistics are misleading or just don't, you know, they don't add up. I think actually, you know, some of the DVOA does kind of match the eye test in a lot of cases. But
we're still dealing with a small sample size. I mean, six, you know, everyone's only played 5 or 6 games. So.
Yep, exactly. So let's move down the line. The next game on the docket is Buffalo versus Jacksonville. It's in London. Technically, I think Jacksonville is the home team, but obviously it's in a neutral stage. The Bills have been like up and down this year. I really was a lot higher on them earlier in the year than I am now. That sounds like some of the players are kind of not mutinous, but they're kind of complaining in the press a lot. Percy Harvin's doing his thing and he's missing the game due to personal issues. Who knows what's going on there?
Yeah.
You know, obviously with the Seahawks, it kind of was like all of a sudden, like you learned about, oh, he was getting in fist fights with people and all this crap. I'm not saying that's what's happening here, but you never know. I mean, just with Percy Harvin, you just kind of assume the worst, based on his track record. So I don't know. Buffalo's kind of falling apart, but at the same time, Jacksonville, or I wouldn't say Buffalo's falling apart, but there's some things going on. Jacksonville is terrible. People are calling for Gus Bradley's head at this point. And I don't particularly blame them. I think, you know, you probably after this long, want to see a little bit more progress in terms of wins and losses instead of moral victories. Who do you have in this game and why?
You know, I would have been tempted to take Jacksonville at home. I think Jacksonville is the best 1-5 team that they've ever been. Something tells me they've probably had a few runs at it, but they're still a 1-5 Jaguars team. And like I said, at home it would have been tempting, but this isn't a home game. This is a weird one. And most London games end up being pretty bad football. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they rarely send top tier teams over there. But a lot of it, I think there's just so many new stimuli and things surrounding the game that it's easy for, you know, you're definitely increasing the variables. And I don't think we've seen a whole lot of upsets in London for that very reason. So anyhow, I do have the Bills winning. I think that they're better than their record. I think that the defense is, they might not be getting, you know, a couple of defensive linemen are chirping about Rex Ryan's system because they're not getting the sack numbers that they used to get. But I don't think that that defense is really worse. And you know, I think there's still a ton of talent there. So,
yeah.
Anyhow, yeah, I think the Bills are a good football team. And I think a good football team beats a bad one in London.
Now, let me ask you, the last couple coaches to have been fired were fired after trips to London. Do you think that Gus Bradley's on the hot seat?
Interesting. I had that. I mean, yeah, you know, he inherited a rundown kitchen and empty cupboards, and you know, he's asked to cook. So it's going to take a little bit to stock the pantry, as it were. But we're also, what is this, year three for him? Year four? Yeah. Either way, it's been,
I can't remember,
been a number of years, and they're still winning one out of every six games, just like they always have. So, you know, you can point to some things, Blake Bortles' development. They've got some exciting offensive players, you know, with the two Allens at wide receiver, TJ Yeldon in the backfield. You know, there's some things to be excited about individually, but still comes down to the fact that they're not beating anybody. So, I think if you go, if they look bad and uninspired and unprepared, then yeah, maybe it's time. If you feel like, you know, that's the thing. That's the other half of the firing decision, is even if it's an interim, you should have a pretty good idea that, you know, whoever you're bringing in is going to be an improvement in some area. So I would be surprised, but if they go out and lose like 38-3 or something like that, then yeah, I mean, you got to wonder if there's anything else that's going to happen in the Gus Bradley era. What about you? You think they're, you think if they lose, he's gone?
Well, I don't think immediately. I don't think, I mean, I don't know, but I don't think they'll fire him in the middle of the year. But here's the stat. There have been 12 NFL International Series games in London.
Yeah.
The losing coach in six of them have been fired during or after that season. Like, kind of crazy. That, and obviously they send bad teams over there. So
yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it for sure. But that is kind of crazy.
Yeah. So anyhow, we can move down the line. You picked Buffalo in that game, and then of course you picked Seattle first off. Now let's move on to the Browns at the Rams. Right now the Rams are coming off their bye week, I believe, and the Browns are one of those teams that are kind of like, they just lost in overtime to the Broncos. They had a real shot at it, didn't come up with the win. They're kind of one of those teams that I think are good, but like just can't win. They keep losing. So what do you think of this game? Who do you have in this one? And what do you think of the matchup?
Neutral field with similar days rest, I actually would pick Cleveland. As you know, if you listened last week, I'm fairly bullish on them developmentally. I don't think they're ready to like ascend to the realm of contender, but I picked them to beat Denver last week, and they almost did.
You almost looked brilliant in that one.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because part of that pick was assuming that Hayden would play and Tlaib wouldn't, and it ended up being the inverse, but not really here nor there. But I do like Cleveland. However, this is St. Louis at home and off of a bye. It, you know, mid-season, it never gets more comfortable than that for a team. That's your most comfortable week of the season is if you have a home game coming off your bye. And St. Louis is still a really talented team. You know, I kind of still see them finishing in that 7-8 win range on the season. But at home, rested up, I do think they beat Cleveland.
Yeah, I picked the Browns, I picked the Rams as well. You know, I just kind of like same reasons as you. I don't have a ton of faith in the Browns, though. I don't know. They're still kind of depending on some journeyman quarterback. I don't, you know, their defense hasn't been as strong as I think we expected them to be. But I think that the Rams are playing a little bit better these days. They gave Green Bay a run for their money. They gave, you know, obviously they beat the Cardinals the week before that. I think that, you know, Todd Gurley, really kind of emerging for them in the run game. I think that's a big deal. So yeah, I went with the Rams on that one. All right, moving on to the next game. We've got Pittsburgh at Kansas City. Pittsburgh is favored in this one by 2 on the road. So I mean, it's not a big line really, but it's kind of surprising still with the way that Kansas City has played. Although I guess is Landry Jones expected to be the starter in this one? That's kind of what you have to think about. What did you have in this game?
I think that Landry as the starter, but honestly, I don't think it matters. The Chiefs are on life support already. You know, they have proven to be wholly one-dimensional on offense. You know, they have I mean, honestly, it's the Chiefs with Jamal Charles are kind of like the Caps with LeBron James. You know, like with him, they're a contender for sure because he can take over a game. Without him, you realize how dependent they are on that one player, and they just look incapable of beating anybody right now. Pittsburgh has been really good this year. You know, in kind of our preview episode over on Real and the Field Goals before the season, I actually picked Pittsburgh to make to the AFC Championship game. And that was assuming Ben Roethlisberger was going to be healthy all season. But they've only lost once without him, and it was in overtime. I think they're, if you count the game that he was out in, they're 3-1 without Ben Roethlisberger. So even if he's not there, and Landry Jones, like, led them to a win over the Cardinals when
Mike, pretty decent.
Yeah, I think it was the highest rated debut by any quarterback with at least 10 pass attempts. So he played really well. A lot of it was because Martavis Bryant is apparently a superlative talent and basically manufactured 2 touchdowns out of thin air. But the fact is that Martavis Bryant is back. So even though Antonio Brown has disappeared without Ben Roethlisberger, they still have Le'Veon Bell. Antonio Brown is legit. And their defense has been playing really well. So all of this has just kind of strengthened my preseason idea that the Steelers are, yet again, you know, this kind of Steelers 4.0 team are good. So, and the Chiefs are really bad. So I've got Pittsburgh.
Yep, I picked Pittsburgh in this one as well, I think, for basically the same reasons. Kansas City just seems like, I don't know, they're just mailing it in at this point. I don't think they have the offense. I don't think their defense has been as good as you thought it would be.
Honestly, I think Andy Reid could be the next coach gone.
That would be crazy to see. I mean, if they don't turn it around, I could see that happening.
They've got a lot of, like, still in their prime talent on that team. So the second you don't think the guy you have – you know, it's not like the Jaguars where you're not sure if you're even close to contending. The Chiefs' window is now with the talent they have. So,
Toby agrees.
Sorry, Toby feels strongly about that.
All right, so sounds good. So we both got Pittsburgh in that game. We can move on down the line. Do you know why the total over-under on that game is off?
Probably they won't post till they know if Roethlisberger is in or out.
Okay, makes sense. So the next game,
we'll definitely see an over/under available by kickoff either way.
Right. All right. So the next game on the docket, we got Houston at Miami. Obviously, the decision to fire Joe Philbin is looking like a good one at this point. They kind of re-energized them, and They kick some ass last week. So now they're kind of looking like maybe the team that we thought they were before the season started. They're favored at home. Who did you pick in this one?
Miami, begrudgingly. Yeah, they played their best game of the season, coach. And there's a long history of inspired performances in week one of a new coach after a shitty coach leaves. And it, you know, no one seems to be challenging the assertion that Joe Philbin was no good. So, you know, it could just be how, you know, that inspired performance. But interim coaches often get off to great starts. It's very rarely sustainable. So I don't think that Miami's necessarily going to be a lot better moving forward. And if they're playing almost anyone else, I would be tempted to take that anyone else. But they're playing the Texans, who seem to just be a bunch of really shiny parts with no idea how to fit together. You know, they've got the best defensive player in the world on their team. Right now, they've got the best wide receiver in the world on offense. You know, their star running back's healthy, but it just hasn't mattered. So I have Miami winning this one at home, but I probably wouldn't have taken them on the road in this one.
Yeah, I have Miami winning as well. I just don't have very much faith in Houston, to be straight. I don't think that – I mean, Hoyer, I think, is a better option than Mallett, and he's been playing mm-hmm. better and giving, you know, Hopkins a chance and getting him involved and all that, but I just don't have faith in them. And so kind of running with the hot hand on this one, I think Miami's feeling it right now in terms of confidence and, you know, they're rejuvenated and all that. So I picked Miami at home. All right, so we got the next game on the docket here is the Jets at Patriots. This is actually a pretty interesting game. I'm actually really surprised that the line is 9. But the Patriots are at home. They're playing really well. Their offense looks pretty unstoppable. But that being said, I think the Jets have looked really good. Their defense is flying all over the place. Todd Bowles is blitzing like crazy. I saw a stat today that said their two most common coverages this year are cover one blitz and cover zero blitz. So they're going insane.
Yeah. I saw that too. And I was actually really excited to share that as well when I saw it. Like, that is insane and only possible if you just have over the top belief in your cover men.
Yeah. And I mean, they've got the players in the back end to do that. And I mean, obviously Revis got beat for a touchdown last week, but you know, with the way that he plays in the back end and you know, can basically take over one whole side of the field. I think they can do some really cool stuff. So this is going to be a really fun game, I think. You know, the Jets offense is actually a little bit better than I thought. But at the end of the day, I ended up picking New England just because they're on fire, because they're at home, and because Brady's Brady. And what did you have in this game?
It is so crazy to me that the Patriots are as good as they've ever been now. Like, you know, there's always that specter of the cheating that's over it. And, like, just as a football fan, that's tough for me, you know, like, because I admire that franchise so much. But you're right. They are just clicking along. This is the best Jets team we've seen in a very long time. And it just won't matter, I don't think. You know, I do have them covering that spread, but New England got hit in the mouth as much as any team has been able to in Indianapolis this week. And they still won by a couple of touchdowns. You know, they completely suffocated Indianapolis in the second half. Belichick is still the greatest adjustments coach probably that the league's ever seen. And the Jets just – you just have to be so dynamic to beat this Patriots team. I don't think the Jets are that. So, yeah, I do have New England winning. But I'm very impressed by the Jets so far.
Yeah. That is probably one of the main games to watch. That's on the early slate on Sunday. Moving on down the line, we got Minnesota at Detroit. This is, you know, an NFC North kind of matchup, but I still think that Minnesota's the better team. Detroit got the win last week against the Bears, but I don't think that particularly changes much with them. And on the other hand, I think Minnesota is kind of finding their groove. I picked Minnesota in this game. Who did you have?
This was my toughest choice of the week because I'm trying to figure out just exactly how bad these teams are. you know, there's a big part of me that wants to adhere to the bad teams choose the home team philosophy that's served me really well in the past, because I don't think Minnesota is very good. I really don't. But Detroit is so one-dimensional. I mean, they are far and away the worst running team in the NFL. Like, it's not even close. They're just way, way behind the Saints, who are the second worst rushing team. That, you know, it's tough to be so one-dimensional, especially when your quarterback's Matt Stafford, because he's been really bad. He's been really bad. I know he had a huge game last week, but again, like most Matthew Stafford huge games, it's the product of volume and a soft opponent. Minnesota's defense has a lot of really dynamic players on it. I did choose them to win. I really wanted to choose Detroit, but I think that they're a mess, and I think Minnesota is good enough to beat a bad team on the road.
All right, so you chose Minnesota in that one. So far, we don't have any differences going down the line. Let's see what the next one says here. It's Atlanta at Tennessee. You know, the Titans, I just don't know what to think of them. But, you know, I don't even know for sure if Marcus Mariota is going to play this week.
It's sounding like he's not going to.
Yeah. And so, once again, we kind of have to make a decision early on in the week and – you know, based on injury reports and kind of figure out what we're thinking. But this, at the end of the day, I went with Atlanta anyway. You know, I just think that despite the loss last week, that was kind of one of those division rivalry games, might be an aberration. I don't think Atlanta's a undefeated style team in the first place. So they were bound to lose, but I just think that they're probably a better team than Atlanta or than Tennessee at this point, even on the road. So who did you have on this one? Because this one, you know, another road favorite. So it's kind of a hard thing to pick. What did you think?
Yeah, you know, going on the assumption that Mariota won't play, I am taking the Falcons. I'd probably take the Falcons anyway, to be honest. I don't think they're as good as their record. You know, they got beat by a bad Saints team last week. Now, granted, you know, road game Thursday, it's tough. That can make a lot of teams look worse. But, you know, even at 5-1, they're 14th by DVOA. Their defense, which has come up big in the clutch so far this year, is still probably in the bottom third of the NFL in terms of, you know, play. And when good teams consist, you know, good defensive teams consistently make plays in the clutch, I think it's a lot more predictable than when bad teams do, just because, you know, it seems to be more of a luck issue that way. So anyhow, I don't think Atlanta is as good as their record, but I do think they're better than Tennessee. And I think they're definitely better than Tennessee with Zach Mettenberger. So I have the Falcons on the road in this one.
Moving on down the line, we've got Tampa Bay at Washington. Two bad teams, and it's in Washington. Who did you have in this one?
Yeah, two bad teams. I'm taking the home team, the Redskins. The Redskins are actually less bad than I assumed they would be.
Yeah.
They've actually played pretty well. Their defense has been a lot better than I thought it would be. And, you know, they're actually kind of a middle-of-the-pack team overall. So, if it was in Tampa Bay, probably take the Bucs, but it's not, so I'm taking the Redskins.
Yeah, I pretty much thought the same thing. I think that, you know, even with quarterback issues, you know, Kirk Cousins hasn't really set the world on fire. You know, and I think that Tampa Bay, they're still, you know, they show glimpses of being able to score points and things like that, but they're still, you know, working through the rookie quarterback thing. It's going to be on the road. So I went with Washington in this one just based on two bad teams, big home team. Moving on down the line, we got New Orleans at Indianapolis. I think this is a pretty interesting game. I think, you know, obviously the Saints are coming off the win in Atlanta or against Atlanta. And the Colts, you know, I thought they, you know, it's kind of funny because they had I saw this joke on Twitter that was like the Colts raising a banner that was said like, we didn't lose as bad to the Patriots as we did last year. And it's like, you know, that's a kind of a moral victory. They didn't look as bad as I think a lot of people thought, because a lot of people thought that the Patriots were just going to destroy them. But
and really, if you take that game as a whole, they kind of did.
Right. But I mean, it looked okay in the box score, and so whatever. I mean,
Brady's first interception of the year, he threw it off of a receiver's broken finger. He hit him, you know, he got faulted for hitting him right in the broken finger.
Yeah. So, who did you have in this game and why?
I'm taking the Colts, because while they're probably not very good, they are better than New Orleans and they're at home. You know, coming off a Thursday game, New Orleans kind of has one of those half buys where they've got 10 days in between games, but if they're at home, I think that might matter. I think that, you know, the Indianapolis crowd is still consistently good. Their team is definitely still in the hunt at 3-3 to win that division. I mean, it's still the worst division in football by a margin. So, and they're the best of it. And I think that Andrew Luck started to look a little bit more like himself, certainly in the first half last week. So, I have the Colts winning, and I think they probably win comfortably.
Yeah. I picked the Colts as well. I don't remember if I already said that, but same reasons. I think, you know, it's they just starting to look better. I still don't have much confidence in New Orleans to, you know, string together wins. And yeah, I mean, I think Andrew Luck looked more like himself this last game. And so he'll probably build on that. So that's why I'm going with Indianapolis. Moving down the line, we got Oakland at San Diego. You know, obviously this is an AFC matchup. These divisional games are always kind of hard to figure out. Philip Rivers passed for over 500 yards last week. He became one of 15 players to have done that ever. I think he was one of 8 players to have done that ever and also lost. So, I don't know what's going on with the Chargers. They didn't end up scoring a lot of points based on those 500 yards, but the Rivers threw the ball all over the place. I like Oakland. I think they're kind of an exciting up and coming team, but I'm still fairly confident in San Diego in this game. I think they're at home, although that, you know, doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot really with San Diego, but I just think that they'll bounce back from that tough loss last week and win this one. What do you think?
I agree with you about Oakland. I think that the Raiders remind me in a lot of ways of the 2011 Seahawks, where you're starting to see how they're going to go about winning games differently than the Seahawks did, but you're starting to see an identity develop. And you're looking at a lot of Seattle influence down there in terms of both talent and coaching. And then I think you're also looking at a front office that's coming out of that Ted Thompson tree, similar to John Schneider. So I think that there's some really exciting things ahead. I think the top of that division is probably going to crumble with the Broncos and Chiefs and Chargers all looking a lot worse, even despite Denver's record than we thought. I think that division's wide open. I think Oakland can maybe even take it next year. That said, talent and potential is only half of the success equation. Consistency is the other, and Oakland hasn't been consistent. San Diego, I don't feel like they've had a bunch of really good games and really bad games. I think they've played pretty well in all of their games, and that's been good enough to win twice and not good enough to win 4 times. But I think that they're kind of a known commodity in terms of the overall performance they're going to give, and I think that's good enough to win at home against Oakland. I will probably take the Raiders in Oakland later this year, but I'm taking the Chargers in this one.
Yeah. That makes sense. Moving on down the line, we got Dallas at New York Giants. Not sure. Oh, I guess Whedon has been benched, so they're coming off of that bye week and going with Matt Castle, which will be interesting. And then, of course, also this is a game when we can probably see the premier as starting quarterback or starting running back, Christian Michael, for Dallas, which will be a lot of fun. Hopefully he'll do well, or maybe hopefully he doesn't do well. I don't know, depending on what you want from that. But the Giants again are they didn't look so great against the Eagles last week, but they're kind of up and down. They can score points at times. I don't really know what to think of them, but I do think they're better than Dallas at this point, and especially at home. So I picked the Giants. Who did you have in this game?
Giants. Yeah, same reasons. You know, we're late enough in the show that I can just say this week lines up as a really chalk week.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot of weeks, and honestly, I'm kind of grateful for it. There have been a lot of weeks where you have the more talented team on the road, and so you're kind of got these competing themes of success. Is it the more talented team that wins or the home team that wins? But this year, I think it lines up pretty clearly. So Giants, for all the same reasons, I think, you know, obviously it'd be very interesting to see what Christian Michael does. I'm going to keep a close eye on him, even post-Seattle. But, you know, until Tony Romo comes back, I don't know that these guys beat anybody on the road.
Yeah. Moving down the line, we got Philly at Carolina. This could be an interesting game. Obviously, Philly is playing a little bit better, kind of getting their stuff together. But at the same time, you know, Sam Bradford still looks kind of like a train wreck at times. He had three picks last game. Defense kind of really took it over for Philly in that one. And at the same time, you know, Carolina, I still don't really know what to think of them. I think obviously they picked apart the Seahawks in the fourth quarter, but they looked really, you know, pretty human during the other three quarters. So I don't know. Like, obviously it's a big win for them in Seattle, and I won't discount that. But, you know, they're still relying on Cam Newton for just about everything. So who did you have in this game and why?
Man. This is the other game besides Minnesota and Detroit that I click back and forth on. For opposite reasons, I think both these teams are pretty good. I actually think that Philadelphia is the better team than Carolina. I don't know how much to read into their win in Seattle. It's weird to think that in the last 4 years, Cam Newton is one of three quarterbacks to win in Seattle. And, you know, he completed 11 of his last 12 passes, and the only completion was a drop. I mean, he carved him up. But Philly's been really good, and not for the reasons that we thought. Despite all the troubles that Byron Maxwell has had and all the struggles of the offense and staying on the field in a fast-paced offense that's not getting a lot of yards, the Eagles have the number three defense in the NFL by DVOA. And that was really shocking. When I was looking at all of the influences on all the games this week, that's the number that stood out to me more than anything. They're really, really good defensively. And they have turned the ball over a ton, and they're doing it in really advantageous positions, you know, plus territory, you know, for the defense, meaning offense is on their own half of the field. So all that said, I was so tempted to pick the Eagles, especially because I really like them, but I did take the Panthers at home. I think that they showed they can run against pretty much anyone. They ran the ball really well against Seattle, who's been as good against the running as anybody this year. I think Cam Newton has arrived, like truly arrived, not as a fluke that the league is trying to figure out, but like the adjustments have been made to him. All his surrounding talent has been taken away, and he's still just killing it. So this is one of those games where I'd probably just take the home team either way, because I think they're really close talent-wise. I think this is the game of the week, even more so than Jets and Patriots. So I do have the Panthers at home. I think that against all odds, they're going to be 6-0.
That's crazy to think about. I picked Carolina as well. Again, I keep forgetting whether I say it first or not, but I picked Carolina as well. So far down the line, we're at chalk for everything, which is – I was going to say something before we got into it, but I wanted to see what you thought. And I imagine for the last game, Arizona – or Baltimore at Arizona, you picked the Cardinals as well. We'll get to that. But yeah, I went through and I was like, man – you know, this is just asking for people to complain. But honestly, like, I just felt like the team, like, most of the games where the better team is at home. And there was a couple games where, you know, there's a better team on the road. And I think they're clearly better enough to win on the road. So it was an interesting week in terms of just picking all the favorites. But moving down so we can finish this off, who did you have in Arizona, Baltimore?
The Cardinals. It's It's crazy. You know, we mentioned earlier that Baltimore, even at 1-5, is 13th in DVOA. And think about it, 12 teams make the playoffs in the NFL. So if you buy into DVOA, and with the caveat that early in the season, DVOA can look super wonky, right? Like, for example, the Patriots beat the Colts and dropped from first to second, and the team that passed them, the Cardinals, lost to the Steelers. Like, there is some stuff that you mentioned, the eye test earlier, doesn't match up early in the season. And so is Baltimore the 13th best team? That seems a little high to me. They're definitely better than their record, and all of their games, I think, have been decided by 6 points or less. But, you know, Arizona looks – when they're good, they look really, really, really good. And I don't think it's a fluke that they're at the top of DVOA. I think that they win this game at home or on the road. They're a heavy favorite for a reason, and I think that they're – they have a chance to be the best team in the NFC West for the next few years.
All right. Well, there we have it. Jackson and I agreed on every game, so we'll go forward and take our lumps or you know.
You're going to spend another week ahead of me, man.
That's pretty sweet. So did you have
I was just going to say tip of the hat to any of you out there who are defying – Danny and I's convention, defying Vegas's convention. Anyone picking upsets this week, definitely am taking a bow in your direction.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens this week in terms of how many people take some of these upsets. But what did you think of some of these lines going into this week?
Yeah, there's a couple of against the spread recommendations I have. And if you've taken my against the spread advice this year, you're 11-7-1. But the ones that I have covering the spread are the Jets. And I think that
That's an interesting one.
Yeah. I think that they'll be close in New England. You know, I think that Pittsburgh covers their 2-point favorite spread at Kansas City. And then the third one is I do think Cleveland covers at St. Louis. I'm surprised that it's 5.5 for the Rams. So those are my three against the spread this week. And if you're throwing money on those, best of luck to you.
There we have it. Those are Jackson's against the spread recommendations. Make sure that you follow us on Field Goals. Make sure you follow us on – subscribe on iTunes. You can find us at Deep Balls, NFL Picks there. If you're listening to this and you used to be subscribed to Real on the Field Goals, you can resubscribe to Real on the Field Goals at Move RSS feeds now. So that's at a different location. So make sure you search for that and find that. We have the podcast links up on Field Goals too. Follow Jackson at Jackson Bevins, J-A-C-S-O-N Bevins. Follow me at Field Goals. And do you have anything to add before we sign off?
No, I just really nervous about tomorrow's game. So it'll be nice to get that out of the way and just enjoy Sunday for what it is.
No doubt. All right. Well, here's to another week of hopefully successful picks, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Later.